This is Near FM
90.3.
Hello there, everybody. Yes, live in studio on Near FM. Anthony Brabison here, and I'm delighted to be here, of course. And hope you're having a nice Monday. Weather, they say, is getting a bit better these days, so you can enjoy that. Get your last swim in the ocean, I suppose, before the winter comes in. And anyway, if you caught us last week, we were talking about, well, two things, I think. We were talking about the Queen of England when she died. We spoke about her personal faith in Jesus, which is so important. I know some people might have seen a little bit of the funeral today, and maybe there was a bit more of that in with all the pomp and the ceremony, but it's just that personal faith is where it's at. And certainly when I'm at a funeral of a friend, I'm praying and hoping, trusting and that they knew Jesus personally, because that is what it's about. So anyway, last week we also spoke about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery, but it is really what it's about, having Jesus Christ live inside of you. So I have to say, I'm not alone in the studio. As always, I have the Holy Spirit, but I also have a gentleman with me, and Ed McDonough. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and Ed, you came a huge distance. Where'd you come from, Ed?
I'm only local myself. I'm only on the Coolock as well I'm from. So
there you go. Well, it's great to have the locals in, and hope you're first of many. Well, we've had some before, but you know, it's always good to. We are a local station, Near FM, of course, North East Access Radio. It stands for, you know that.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So we go a bit wider. We go around the world on the internet, of course. But
brilliant.
You
know, yeah.
North Dublin and the world.
The more it helps you bring it to the Lord is better. It's all for His glory,
yeah,
and His purposes, and to keep it open.
Yeah, wonderful, Ed. So tell us a little bit about your have you on the bench here. Tell us about your childhood
transition,
you know.
I suppose, in a
yeah.
sense.
Were you born in the area?
I was born in Coolock here myself, nearly 40 years ago now. Into a Catholic family, but never really understood what that meant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There's so much in the way. If you're trying to get to God, there's so much, being a Catholic, there's so much you have to go through to get to God, if you know what I mean. There's everything.
A lot of baggage and stuff, yeah.
All you're short of doing is baiting yourself with a stick, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And whereas being a woman put her hand on my shoulder 9 years ago, summer gone, and I received the Holy Spirit. And
What age were you then? 9 years ago? So
I was 37.
37, wow. But up
almost
to that time, Ed, tell me this.
38.
Yeah, but prior to that time, I mean, did you have any knowledge of God in your life?
My wife was, her family would be a lot in Lourdes. I was out there once. I ended up dressed. Here, I'm going to give you a laugh about Lourdes, right?
Okay.
I went to Lourdes one time. And we went with a priest, and the priest, he wanted, now this is Catholic days, if you like, right?
Yeah.
He wanted it. Now, I'd no more interest in this than the man in the moon going out, to be honest with you, but I just went because they were going, I said, I'll see France,
see
a bit of it, see what it's like. And they were short of priests, right? And he says to us, he says, will you do us a favour, lads? He says, will you carry the statue of Our Lady around Lourdes? And I says, of course, yeah, no problem. And myself, a few lads that was with us on it. So he says, well, you're carrying it, he says, when the crowd comes to the open, and he says, where everyone's looking up, stand back, he says, and be looking up at the statue, because only a few of the lads had jackets on them where it says Knock on the jacket, you see, because we went with the tour of Knock, right?
Right.
And stand back like you're the rest of the partitioners and be looking up at the statue like you're amazed. So
right.
So we done that like fools anyway. We says, right, no problem. Done that, took about nearly an hour carrying this statue, right? But there was eight of us. So we got back, carried it up, dropped it. I was hungry. I said, right, I have to get out of here, can't be at this, carry on. I said, went outside the gate of say the cathedral,
yeah.
And there was a little cafe there, and the priest came over and says, here, I'm paying for this. And we says, no, it's grand,
yeah.
we'll pay for our own food. But he says, no, he says, I'm paying. So we let him pay. So of course, us being a bit stupid at the time, this is 20 years ago, he says, felt a bit guilty, everyone was looking at us, oh, you're letting, like it shows you how people are letting the priest pay for your food. But we didn't want him to, but he kind of forced it on us, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So he says, fine. Then he says, I need a favour in the morning. He says, I need just to come in there. He says, about 8 o'clock. He says, across that bridge and go over to them little houses. So we says, no problem. We went over, crossed the bridge, went in, and he locked the door. So he says, that's a strange thing to do, lock the door.
What, locks you in?
Like, he locked the door. Like, oh, is it all here? Yeah, that's right. And he locked the door and took out the key. And I said, that's a bit funny. What's this guy hanging on here? And then all of a sudden he opened up this, he opened another door, he opened up a cupboard, and he said, "Right, lads," he says, "I'm short of priests," he says, "right?" And we start laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? "I need people to carry banners," he says, "I'm a short of priests." Yeah. So none of us was doing it. All the lads were laughing and what have you. No. Then I won't say that we start kind of giggling and it was kind of funny, you know what I mean? I said, "Ah, here, I'm getting nowhere." And then he's grabbing me, "Please, please, I need this," he said. Because the mass that was being said was only allowed to be said by a bishop. Right. And he claimed he was a bishop, but he wasn't a bishop, you see.
Okay.
So he got the loan to the clothes of a bishop.
Yeah.
He got the loan to the clothes of priests for me and a few others that was with us. We dressed up as priests.
Dear.
Right. Went out.
Yeah, right.
And he done the mass. There was 2,000 people.
Right.
Watching this mass going on, right? And there was it shows you, we were staying in a hotel and there was people there, you'd be getting in the lift and they'd be kind of rushing in front of you and they'd be ignorant and things like that, but you wouldn't pass in heat, you'd have to, we were up the top floor, we'd end up using the stairs sometimes because it was only a small lift, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we were there and we were there marching along and like Egypt's been. Now I actually photographed and all of this to prove this, right? But he turned around. Now I thought about, now I can laugh about it, but back then I walked out, walked over the bridge, and there's my wife seeing me dressed up as a priest and all her family. They all start laughing. They were looking at me, "What's going on here?" Then there was other people then you seen there. There was another old woman there. She knew it was a new family man. She understood I was a priest then as well. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So we done the mass. It was under a church underground. Comes out. And there's all the old people said I was inside in the hotel where I was. "Oh, how are you doing? Shaking your hand and shaking your hand."
Yeah, right.
But it was kind of the priest done what he had to do. He was all delighted after it was done.
Yeah.
We went and stripped off the clothes, got back to the hotel, and there's all the old people. We'd said that they'd be kind of pushing themselves ahead of you
and they're
waving over at you and waving, and you're trying to get in the lift then, and they're getting out of the way to let you know what I mean? It showed you, it's kind of a brainwashing thing,
gosh.
You know what I mean? But never went of it ever again. I said to myself, this is all in your damn job.
That,
you know?
But I mean, coming to God, you know, I mean, you're saying about you have to go through priests and the system,
the Bible doesn't say that.
It's one mediator.
The Bible clearly says, now I'm not slating anyone, but I'm going to explain what it is, right? The Church of England, right, has the Queen as the head of the church, okay?
Yeah. The king now, I think.
Yeah, well, it's the King Charles now, I suppose. Their king is the head of their church now at the minute, right? And then you have the Catholics, which have the Pope as the head of the church, okay?
Yeah, right.
But God sent Jesus to the world to be the head of the church.
Right.
Christ is our head. The Bible clearly says that there's one mediator between God and man is Christ Jesus. The last time God used priests was
it was the Old Testament.
The Old Testament, where they used to go in once a year, maybe twice a year, slaughter an animal, slaughter everything, and then you went to the priest, and then he spoke to God, and you gave him your
because
stuff.
God was holy, you couldn't just come yourself.
You couldn't,
you had to go through that system. But it's great that Jesus did away with that system.
Yeah, so Christ says, "I am the new covenant, and out with the old." So Christ, see, the reason Christ, what a lot of people don't realise is why he's the Lamb of God. The reason Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Explain that now.
Now, I'll explain it to you. And it's quite simple, right? Jesus turned, the Jews in the Old Testament used to get a lamb, bring it. They got it over Wednesday. They inspected it 3 times.
Right.
Before they slaughtered it on top of the altar, okay, shed its blood, okay? As in, you slaughter a lamb like Abraham, like God made a covenant with Abraham.
Yeah. I said, these are words people are familiar with. You talk about the Lamb of God, but the explanation people often miss out on.
But I'm going to hit that right now, and I'm going to explain what the Bible says about Jesus being the Lamb of God, right? Jesus made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham wanted to make a God made a covenant with Abraham right before Jesus came to the world, right? Jesus always existed anyway. When God made the universe, it tells us in the book of Proverbs that when God was making the universe, his son stood beside him, which is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Okay, so here's the thing. God turned around and made a covenant. He knocked Abraham out, he put him asleep, and God then killed the lamb, killed the goat, and says, "Look," he says, "I made a covenant with you, but you couldn't make the covenant with me because the problem is you wouldn't be able to keep it, but I'll keep my covenant and my promise forever."
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So then the Jews they went into exile, they were there for a few hundred years, they came back. Okay? So then they built the temple. They're used to, now back to this about sin. There can be no atonement for sin without the shedding of blood. Okay? But it has to be innocent blood. Okay?
Yeah.
So the reason now, see, it's not complicated if people just listen to this, and it's very simple, and the Bible is there explaining it, right? The reason Joseph couldn't be Jesus' father, because by man we are condemned, okay?
Yeah.
Which is the seal. we're the seed of Adam and Eve, so we are condemned. Our blood is sin. We are sin. So two wrongs don't make a right. So what the Jews were doing, what God permitted them to do, was bring the lamb, slaughter it at exactly 3 o'clock. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason that Joseph couldn't be Jesus' father is because he needed innocent blood. Every child born in the world, and science will prove this, okay, it's a fact that every child carries its father's blood.
The bloodline comes through the father.
Now, if Joseph had to be Jesus' father, then it would be wrong on top of wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. So the reason that the Holy Spirit, where the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and says, look, where you're going to have a son, and he's going to be by the Holy Spirit, by God in heaven, and by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be pregnant. He's going to place the Holy Spirit, the power of God is going to come on you, and that child is going to be placed in your womb, and you're going to grow. Yeah. But Jesus was already in heaven, knew what he was coming for. He was coming to conquer Satan and conquer everything. I'm sorting this place out once and for all. So when Jesus turned around then, comes down, he's born then, okay? Mm-hmm. So Jesus then, the blood that's in Jesus is God's blood.
Yeah.
It's not blood of this world that has been contaminated. It's clean blood from the Holy Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and the universe.
But when you talk about the lambs were a picture of innocence.
Yeah,
if you saw a lamb, wouldn't they be innocent?
Yeah, but this is...
There was only a picture of the innocent Jesus.
Exactly, but this is where I'm coming to this, you see. So the Jews then turned around. So Satan then tried to kill Jesus, but he sent Herod, the soldiers, after him. Mm. They had to go to Egypt for years. Then they came back and everything that went on during that, okay? Yeah. But the thing about it is, when Jesus turned around, right, and he was arrested, on the day Jesus was arrested by the soldiers, okay, is the same day that the Jews' high priests and the Pharisees, which they got the lamb.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So they looked at a lamb. The lamb was fine. So they brought Jesus to Pilate. Pilate then turned around, looked. I see no problem with him. They inspected the lamb the second time then, the next day. The lamb was fine.
Mm.
They brought Jesus then to Pilate. Pilate says, I see no wrong with him again. Sent back to them, they inspected with the lamb. Now, this is a fact.
Yeah.
They inspected the lamb again. The lamb was fine. That was twice.
Yeah.
Then they were blackguarding Jesus, trying him again, sent him back to Pilate. Pilate then, they whipped him, done everything with him, and says, I see no wrong with him. Crucify him.
Mm.
So Pilate then inspected Jesus three times. Now, here's the catch where people don't really... Right, here's the catch. The Pharisees and the high priests, okay, couldn't even find anything wrong with Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
They couldn't find anything wrong with the lamb, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they brought him to Pilate to crucify him, because the Pharisees and the high priests, little did they know that they were doing, this was the Lamb of God. They couldn't find anything, and they couldn't find anything with the lamb.
Yeah.
So when Jesus then was crucified, he was brought up to the carried the cross up to Calvary, put on it, right?
Yep.
When Jesus then turned around at exactly 3 o'clock, supposedly, we understand it's 3 o'clock,
it was
okay?
The ninth hour, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
The lamb was to have its throat cut at 3 o'clock on top of the altar, okay, in the holy place.
Yeah.
So when Jesus lifted up his head and said, it's finished, what finished means is, in the Old Testament, in the old Hebrew language, was it means victory.
Right.
It means Jesus came to the world, he conquered the sin, okay?
Mm.
He conquered Satan from the day he was born, the day he came into the world. He lived all his life, he never thought one thought. There was no sin in his
never
blood.
Never did anything wrong.
Okay? Yeah. So when his blood then poured out for all, rather than being poured out in a private place by a lamb where people could have stood, what happened at exactly 3 o'clock was, the lamb turned around, the altar, an earthquake happened, the altar broke in two halves.
Yeah.
The curtain was something like 40 feet wide and 60 feet high,
torn,
and it was as if
down,
it was torn down the centre, like it was cut with a knife or a scissors, real quick and real fast, and the thing went in two halves as well. It's the same time that Jesus died, where the Roman soldier ran the spear into his side, where the blood poured out, whereas Christ turned around and shed his blood for all. So therefore then the blood wasn't spilled in the private place anymore, it was spilled in public for the people. So we don't need to put everyone else, the priests or not, because they're all gone out of town now. Good luck to them. Christ, God turned around and gave us a direct phone straight to him, is Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, and this is why Christ is the Lamb of God. Now, the only reason, the only way you can get to Christ, and here's where people are being misled.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. They're putting statues in front of them. They're putting saints in front of them. I'll tell you about all the saints, right, when they died. They're all their bones was left in the grave.
Yeah.
They were boiled. There were lumps torn out of them. But yeah, when Jesus got into the grave, he walked out. The saints are dead and yeah, their spirits then went to heaven. Why would you follow your spirit? Why would you follow a person that's dead when...
Yeah,
you want to go to a break?
No, no, it's good.
Sorry. What they turned around and done was, what actually happened was, people are putting the... Now, when John the Apostle was taken to heaven in the book of Revelation, he thrown himself down in front of the angel, yeah, and the angel grabbed them and lifted them up. Do not bow to me, he says.
Yeah.
You bow to the Lamb. The one that was slain was Jesus Christ. So therefore then, when in Matthew 27, in the last pages of... It tells us, because of what Jesus done on the cross at Calvary, because he conquered Satan, mm-hmm, he done absolutely everything, he put things the way they should be, he is the new covenant. All authority has been given to Jesus on earth, in heaven, and on hell below. So nobody has the authority, only Jesus.
Yeah.
So when you're praying to these statues and praying to everything else and going all these things that's going on, they can't hear you. So therefore then, how is Christ meant to hear you?
Yeah.
When you're praying to a piece of chalk or a piece of... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's well off praying to a rubbish bin.
Yeah.
Because it can't hear you. Whereas Christ turned around and he's the one.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Ed. Gosh, I'll tell you, you know, to explain the Lamb of God that way is just powerful.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break here. It's Keith Green's got a song for us. Okay. Thank you very much, Keith Green. We did a special on him a few weeks ago. You can listen back to the podcasts and get a handle on that. Great stuff. The late Keith Green, 40 years ago, tragically died, he did. So I have Ed McDonough live in studio. And I suppose live is a bit of an understatement. But anyway, Ed, I got to ask you a question because our time, unfortunately, we only have about 7 or 8 minutes left. But I'm going to ask you about your wife. She went through a difficulty a while ago and she was expecting a child. Do you want to tell me something about
it? Yeah, no problem, yeah. My wife was, last year, she found out she was pregnant, and things were grand, I suppose, as normal for the first couple of weeks. And then she went in for a scan inside in the hospital, and they'd done a scan on her. And she wasn't actually supposed to go in for a scan, but some reason or other she felt she had to go in, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm, and she just went in then, you know, she felt, you know. But it turned out that the pregnancy was one of the rarest pregnancies in the world. It was called placenta accreta, they called it.
Oh, explain that to a layman.
It's where I still kind of find it hard to under... Well,
well,
I,
we know what a placenta is. That's the sack.
I find kind of hard to explain it, if you like. If you know, I can understand it, but explain that is one thing.
It was very serious,
but
I gather.
They thought first that the child was inside in the tube, but it wasn't. It was where the placenta was, and my wife's... she had, it was a weak part, we'd say, where the baby was in the sack, and they were expecting that the burst opened, because then it was stuck to the side of it as well, and the bigger he was getting, it was pulling away from it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she bled most of the pregnancy at the start.
Oh, wow.
And they kept her in hospital for, what, five months or more altogether. But the thing about it was, the doctors... Now, we were no voters in the referendum that time.
Right,
we don't believe in abortion in any way, shape or form, because when a child is sent... Basically, it's like this. It's Jesus is our physician, and that's it. Okay. And that was our way of thinking.
So what happened with your wife? She was in a very serious situation.
The doctors, without exaggerating, there must have been a hundred talked to her... Even got people to speak to her, and even to be honest with you, they done their living best to get her to have an abortion. Now they done it as in they were trying to be safe. You know what I mean? Like they didn't understand God, our faith in God and things like that. There, you know what I mean? And my wife just says, "No, I'm not doing it," and that's it. She says, "There's no way that God sent them to this world for this to happen," and that was it. You know what I mean? But they turned around that you'll have an abortion, you could die, and you have children at home. This is the only chance. The baby's not going to survive. You have to get rid of him. And we wouldn't accept that, to be honest with you, because how could you be?
Ed, what were you thinking at this time? Because it was a very serious situation.
honestly, our faith was just in Jesus, and that was
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, even the doctors, you could see they were kind of looking at you there, like, well, maybe you're probably thinking you were a weirdo or something like that yeah. there, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't mean it in the bad. No, they were very good and they were very nice in the hospital, you know what I mean?
But did you, like, have a peace about this?
Yeah, I felt relaxed about it. That she, like, I felt, and she was there the same. But some, I'll be honest with you, some of the doctors there that just wanted, look, I'll be honest, there's no point in being a hypocrite about it. Like, I'll tell you the truth. Some of the doctors were there, like, they cared for her very well. Yeah. And but some of them just wanted a couple of the younger doctors, no, not the older ones, but a couple of them just wanted her to have the abortion and just get her out of the hospital. They didn't want the hassle of looking after a woman yeah. that this carry on, you know what I mean?
And what happened then? You know?
She refused the abortion, and then they come up one day and says they've done a scan on her and says, look, the baby's breaking up. Your womb is breaking up.
Oh, right.
You're going to bleed today. They told us the baby was dead.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So she's there and she's crying. I rang people in the church. I rang a friend of mine, the lovely lady, and Liz is her name. She prayed. I rang Sean was praying, and people within the Christian community were praying. I rang and I put thing on Facebook praying, and my wife went down. She says she didn't want to right or wrong, no, but there was a lovely midwife there. She says, look, she says, if this baby is fine, she says, the doctor said basically, look, if everything is fine and everything's going to be, we're going to do what you want us to do. So she wanted the baby saved, and that was it, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even my wife turned around, and basically, she even made a video there for the rest of the kids and what have you, you know what I mean? But she wanted the baby saved, and that was it. And
yeah.
she didn't want to put her own life ahead of the child, and that was the way it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she turned around and she went down. I went up, rang friends of mine, told them. I went up to the Garden of Remembrance at the back of the Rotunda Hospital. And I'm just sitting there and I'm reading my Bible, and then it just says, Jesus, I says, you're my Lord and Saviour. I says, you've always been, there's nobody but you.
Mm-hmm.
And now I meant what I was saying, I said what I said. I says, look, I says, whatever your will is, that's what's going to be.
Yeah.
So whatever you decide to do, I says, I want my wife and I want my baby. I says, but I says, whatever your will is, Lord, I says, whatever way it's going
to
work out.
But isn't that so important, just surrendering yeah. to the will of God, particularly in a crisis?
Yeah,
know?
That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But I says, look, whatever your will is, I says, you're still my King and you're still my Lord and Saviour. That's not going to shake my faith in you. So whatever mm-hmm. you decide, Jesus, you're still my Lord and Saviour. And if things don't work out, when the time comes, we'll all see each other in heaven again
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to be there, I says, yeah. and we'll all be there together mm-hmm. in heaven for eternity.
Yeah,
but I says, I'm asking, could I keep me wife and me baby? But I says, Lord, I says, you're me Lord and Saviour.
I
says, it's going to be your will. But I says, I'm asking for them. They went down. Now they split her right across. They had her down there for 5 hours or something, and
was the baby a term time or
no? This was even before he was born.
Yeah,
right. A few months before.
Okay,
and they looked in, and the baby was fine. Okay. The baby was still alive, and after them saying he was gone, he was dead, and he was still alive. But when they knocked her out, they sedated her. They knocked her out. Went on for a few hours. I'm on my way back down to the hospital. I walked down, and to be honest with you, I was just. Head was down, it wasn't in the know what I mean? But I was still thanking Jesus, you know what I mean? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I never thought anything bad
through the fire.
Like, you know what I mean? I didn't think anything bad or didn't be cursing or nothing or anything like that. I just I said, Jesus, you're my Lord. Went down, the baby is still there, she's fine. But when she was inside the thing and she was and all she could hear the word, she could hear the song, Oh thou Lord God to me. Do you know that Christian song?
I don't know if I do.
Oh my Lord to thee. Oh my God to thee.
Yeah,
right? That's what she could hear over and over and over in her. But when they woke her up, the doctor says, your baby's fine, your baby's still there. Back down as usual, send her back down to the ward. And then came closer and closer to the time. Then it was time for baby to be born. They took him out at 32 weeks then at this stage. That first time happened in about October, I think it was, but he wasn't to be born until the 20th of January. So they brought him down. Now they kept pushing it back the whole time. But they pushed it back. He had to be born in the Rotunda. She went through a 7-hour surgery. Uh-huh. She had a full hysterectomy. When the baby was born, he didn't take his first breath for 7 minutes.
My
6 minutes, right? So before he got his first breath. Now we actually have that at home on the right, and the doctor says he didn't breathe for 6 minutes.
Wow.
But now he was there, got him out, they put the little machines on him, they took him back down to the Rotunda. Then they tried to feed him, and when they went to feed him, then it wasn't going into his stomach because it wasn't connected. Do you know the pipe we had swallowed? It wasn't connected. They sent him straight up into Temple Street, which is a brilliant hospital also. in there, and they done the operation on him then the next morning. But he didn't take his first feed for 3 weeks, so they just hooked into his vein,
right,
and sent nutrients through the vein straight into the bloodstream. And after 3 weeks, they tried him then like with a couple of mils. Then he drank that and drank that and drank that. But now he's what, he'll be 9 months, 20th of January tomorrow. What'll be? Wow. He'll be 8 months old tomorrow.
Wow.
And he's trying to talk now at the minute, right? Wow. He's getting his teeth, and wow, he's jumping around. And for a child that was never given a chance, he's wearing clothes, even though he's 8 months, he's wearing clothes of a 24-month-old child.
My goodness. Wow.
Do you know what I mean? What, so that's glory to God. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's all Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Like, now I do thank the doctors in the hospital. I really do.
Well, of course, because the Lord uses people.
Yeah, yeah, God bless them.
And
bless
certainly
their hands.
The midwife and her attitude.
Oh, yeah, her attitude was, yeah.
You know?
And even the doctors turned around and says, whoever you're praying to, keep doing it. But now the situation in the hospital is, because of everything that she went through, and they hadn't seen, them have never seen it, what they've done was, my missus signed over everything that she had and all her information, and have given it to the hospital, which was rightly so.
Yeah.
So now what they consider him as on their paperwork is, when they're compared, and he now compares to other women that are becoming impregnant, they call him the Rotunda baby on their paperwork. So they'll always compare him, yeah, to how far that a woman can be pushed.
Wow.
To the limit, you know what I mean? Oh, and
wonderful.
This is, it's, yeah, something for them to look at in the future, you know, that way.
Yeah, well, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God, our unformed substance, it talks about, that God makes, and
yeah,
God is involved in every detail. And just to hear your story about God's grace over your son,
yeah,
and obviously over you and your wife,
yeah,
in this situation, you know. And, you know, throughout that, just a real simple question, Ed, you know, did your faith waver in the middle of
Never.
The darkest moments?
Never. Because here's the thing, what people don't realise, you're in a battle from the day you're born.
Yeah.
You can't give in to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee. The most, yeah, important thing, don't fear Satan.
Yeah. Anyway, Ed, listen, that's fantastic, and we might have you back again, but listen,
no,
it's been a blessing having you, hearing your story.
You're welcome,
and,
you're welcome.
You know, about what a wonderful God we have and how faithful he is. And you've been listening to God Talk. Anthony here every week, 5 o'clock to 5:30, 1 hour on the bank holidays, but it's half an hour normally. So God bless you all, and thanks very much for listening.
God Talk with Anthony Brabison, talking about Jesus, died, buried, risen and relevant.
This is Near FM
90.3.